pre-election dictators, ZANU-PF is an attempt to reclaim political hegemony, is a research paper that tries to investigate the strategies that ZANU-PF is trying to use to win the next harmonized election and reclaim its political hegemony in Zimbabwe. It also tries to go deeper to analyze how and why authoritarian regimes do adopt or drop certain political strategies depending with the political context. So in this report, my main argument is that ZANU-PF is going to use a psychological warfare, what I call harvest of fear in the next election, rather than naked violence or naked repression. This is because ZANU-PF has been relying on naked repression, that is the margin of terror, especially in June 27, 2008. But it has come to realize that such kind of an archaic or a primitive approach is not going to be able to win its political legitimacy in the region and internationally. But at the same time, ZANU-PF is also aware that a relatively free and fair election, such as the one that was held on March 29, 2008, it provides dangers to its political hegemony. There is no guarantee that ZANU-PF is going to win a free and fair election. So pitted between a rock and a hard place, we then tried to investigate how ZANU-PF is trying to navigate through this time. And there are a number of reasons why ZANU-PF is geared towards manipulating the next election. Number one is that the transitional election is so uncertain. Even though there are surveys that show that President Mugabe has been leading, but the lead is very marginal and there is no certainty. It shows that it's going to be a tightly contested election. Number two, President Mugabe and the people who surround him in ZANU-PF, they face a number of charges related to corruption, related to gross human violations. So it won't be easy for them to easily let go an election, hence an incentive to try and manipulate the election. And number three, the cost of rigging the election, if it's smart enough, it won't be very high as long as it is less visible. So ZANU-PF is going to, as I said, modify its terror tactic. We are going to see a modified kind of terror where they will be intimidating people, reminding them of its history of violence, what we have seen Jabulani Sibanda doing in certain provinces in Masvingo, where he was promising to roast the livers of opposition supporters, but without actually engaging in overt and naked violence, because they now know the cause. And number two, ZANU-PF is going to maintain what I call the infrastructure of error. The infrastructure of error, we are talking about institutions that will enable ZANU-PF to play around with the vote tallies, that is inflating their votes and deflating the votes of their opponents. And for them to do this, they need to maintain the current contested secretariat. They need to maintain the current contested voters' roll, and they need to ensure that the registrar general's office is not reformed in any way. Yet it is the actual engine that runs the election in terms of organizing the election and so forth. But ZANU-PF will also appeal to popular groups like the church. We have already seen the president attending the apostolic sect, congregations, and other people like the vice president and so forth. They also try to appeal to the youth and to women. But this is not enough. They also try to use state-financed patronage, that is, abuse state programs like the Indigenization and Empowerment Program, state assets and state bureaucrats to enhance its electoral chances in the campaign. And on top of that, they will continue to arrest what I call the formation of preferences. That is, try to stifle independent, you know, electronic media, so that they keep on giving people one vision, just keep on promoting ZANU-PF and its candidate. So that at the end of the day, what people will post at the ballot box will be a result of, you know, structurally induced ignorance. But let me briefly just say, there are two strategies to win the elections. The first election is the parliamentary election. On the parliamentary election, ZANU-PF knows that it is not going to get two-thirds majority. So they are going to center on what I call swing constituencies. These are constituencies whereby the vote tallies were the vote tally differences between MDCT and ZANU-PF were 5% or less in the March 29, 2008 election. These constituencies are 18, ZANU-PF has 12 to defend, and MDCT has 6 to defend. So ZANU-PF is already intensifying intimidation in these constituencies and is carrying out partisan voter registration in these constituencies. For example, Bigita West, where MDCT won by just 19 votes. They know that if they gain ground in the swing constituencies, they will get a parliamentary majority. And second, for the presidential election, ZANU-PF is going to rely on four provinces. It's targeting four provinces. They want to reach a 1 million mark in four provinces. These are its traditional strongholds, the Mashonaland provinces, and they are also targeting a Midlands province. They will make it difficult for the opposition to campaign in these provinces. And then if they start from a million mark, they will be able to battle it out in the other six provinces with the MDCT. And this strategy is also strengthened by their supposition that the vote in Matabeleland will be divided among different opposition parties like MDC, led by Professor Welsh, and ZAPU, led by Dabengwa. They think that with a fragmented vote in Matabeleland, they will actually be able to scrape through. And remember that in March 2008, President Mugabe actually won Matabeleland South with 38% of the vote. Simba Makoni had 30%, and Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai had 29%. He was playing out on the divisions. So we'll see the state security, you know, agents trying to further divide the opposition to ensure that ZANU-PF lands the president. But in short, what we are witnessing is not an electoral democracy, but it's also neither a closed authoritarian state. What we are seeing are very smart, sophisticated kind of tactics, what we might call an electoral authoritarian regime. So this is the kind of regime that the Zimbabweans are going to confront in the next election, from my findings in the research.
Dr. Zamshia, looking at the differences or the divisions within ZANU-PF, would you say from your research there is a coherent program of action within that party to reclaim a political hegemony in Zimbabwe?
Yes. ZANU-PF is not a monolithic party. You're absolutely right on that one. It actually abounds in many fashions. But there's a common interest within ZANU-PF at the moment, and that common interest is to win the next election. They need to win the next election for the precise reasons that I've mentioned before, that they possibly face corruption charges, they possibly face gross human violation charges. No matter what faction you belong to, we know that all the factions within ZANU-PF, they actually have dirty hands. They have blood on their hands to allege. So to win this transition election is one thing, it's one common interest within ZANU-PF. And from that position, you can also be able to delineate the general strategies that they are trying to use. There might be contestation in terms of what kind of strategies, but at the end of the day, as they move, for example, as they move towards trying to lure the Apostolic Church, you see them just moving you know, just moving in the same direction. So at the end of the day, it's possible to delineate like the general strategies they are using. Otherwise, if we just think that there are factions and divisions, and then conclude that there are no coherent strategies, then we might miss it. Because even within an individual, there are internal contradictions. One day a person might be supporting this, tomorrow might be supporting that. But at the end of the day, it is the job of political scientists to come up with the general strategies that certain political parties are adopting and dropping, and try to analyze why, how, and what impact.
And from your work on the ground, do you see any of these other political protagonists coming together, the MDCN, MDCT, the Dabengos of this world, the Makwanis? Do you see them eventually agreeing to work together in this crucial election?
It's common sense that they should be able to come together, that they should come together. But whether they are going to come together or not, that's another question. I think that will be like climbing, you know, Mount Everest. It's no easy task. It's going to be a daunting task, because there are so many personal interests among political players within these political parties. But if they put aside the personal interests and put the national interest, then I think they will be able to forge some kind of electoral alliance. Because definitely, if you look at the previous election, March 29, 2008, if the opposition was united, for example, in Bulawayo, they could have won 85% of the vote compared to President Mugabe's 14% of the vote. If you look also in Matabeleland North, they could have won by actually a wider margin, and so forth. So it would make sense, but I would like to say at the moment it's going to be a daunting task, because people are putting personal interests ahead of the national interest. They will need someone possibly to knock sense in their head. Otherwise, President Mugabe will stand a chance of, you know, reclaiming political hegemony.